Bobby Cohen is back, and his show is Takeover Talk. And here is Bobby Cohen.
Thank you, Doug. It's Monday, November 5th, and today is another live hour of Takeover Talk. I'm your host, Bobby Cohen. I welcome all my listeners here in the United States, as well as those worldwide. Our focus will be to assist you in acquiring the most current and comprehensive information on potential public takeover targets in the U.S. capital markets. Remember, I'm just guiding you to this information. You need to do your due diligence before buying or selling any stock. M&A, which is the acronym for mergers and acquisitions, is unpredictable, and it's usually not in the best interest to acquire stocks simply because rumors are percolating. You have to like it as a standalone company as well. Okay, like I said, it's Monday, November 5th, and today is another live hour of Takeover Talk. Merger Monday. Out of the gate, Altair, A-L-T-R, the symbol, to acquire DataWatch, D-W-C-H, for $13.10 a share in cash. This is a smaller deal, my listeners, worth $176 million. Altair and Data Corp today announced the signing of a definitive merger agreement under which Altair has agreed to acquire DataWatch, as I just mentioned, for $13.10 a share. You ready for this? On Friday, it closed at $9.70. So when it opened up, it was up. The premium was a 35% premium. 35% premium from where it closed on November 2nd, Friday. What do I say? Mergers, takeovers are alive and well. They come in many sizes, some big, some small. There's a lot of M&A activity out there. So, I was reading an article. I found a very, very good article that I wanted to share with you. I found it on the website investmentu.com. I-N-V-E-S-T-M-E-N-T, the letter U.com. The headline, How to Profit from Takeover Targets. Now, I could not find the date of this article, but the article starts off by saying, takeovers are one of the fastest ways to strike it rich on Wall Street, and the returns can be staggering. buyout targets can deliver strong or even exceptional returns, sometimes in only a few days. And most investors never hear about them. But these gains aren't just for the barons on Wall Street, nor should they be. Anyone can pocket thousands of dollars in these transactions without doing anything more complicated than buying stocks. You just need to be patient and know what to look for. The article goes on to say there are five characteristics of a takeover target. Spotting and taking advantage of these opportunities may be the most difficult part about them. But companies that are takeover candidates have some elements in common. In these similar fundamentals that can make it easier to find and profit from them. Okay. Put pen to paper now. One, company size. Small to mid-sized companies make the best targets for buyouts, the article goes on to say. It grows increasingly more difficult to take over big companies. There are few firms that could afford to. Large cap firms are simply too big to be bought. It's not impossible now. He's painting that with a broad brush. Secondly, cash reserves. The best targets usually have large cash reserves. This cash is then used to pay down the large amount of debt that the acquirer generally takes on to finance the deal. In addition, these companies usually have low amounts of debt and lots of equity. These assets are the true prize of a takeover. The third characteristic, ownership. Lots of inside ownership can help facilitate buyouts because management has an incentive to sell. In addition, when ownership is concentrated among a few large shareholders, getting the voting majorities needed to approve the transaction becomes much easier. The fourth characteristic, valuation. This is important. When a target is priced at or near its tangible asset value per share, it becomes more attractive to potential acquirers. The closer a company is to its book value, the easier it is to break up and sell off parts at a profit if needed. A low price to earnings ratio, PE, is a good indicator that a company is selling for less than it's worth. And the fifth characteristic is performance. Surprisingly, buyout targets generally have poor recent performance. And the reason is this. If you are buying a company, it is much easier to turn around lackluster management and performance than it is to improve upon a top-performing firm. Something as simple as changing the coach can improve a company's game. The article goes on to say, let buyers pay you a premium. In a sense, all we're doing is chasing a premium. Large companies swallow up small companies every day. in fact, many acquisitions as a primary strategy for growth. Why spend lots of money trying to get new customers when you can buy someone else's for less? But taking over a competitor isn't a simple matter that can be done quickly or inexpensively. It can take months. In addition, the board of directors must get shareholder approval to proceed. For two public companies to merge, or for one company to buy out another, they must account for enough shares to make the transaction go through, and they need to compensate the major shareholders who could block the deal. In order to do so, they generally must offer a premium price than the company is currently trading for, called a premium. By paying this premium to shareholders, they compensate them for agreeing to the deal. It's the premium that instantly makes the stock more valuable, driving stock prices through the roof. But the best part is they must offer the premium price to all shareholders, not just the big boys. These developments are so profitable that just a hint of a buyout causes an immediate bounce to prices. Just a whisper about a potential takeover is enough for speculators to drive up the price as fast. Going back, look at Yahoo. When Microsoft announced it was interested in pursuing a merger, the price shot up over 50% in one day. And that was on speculation. No merger took place. Wow. I wanted to share this fine article with you. It's almost like Takeovers 101. And I wanted, again, to share it with my listeners. Okay. Let's go to the phones right now. We have Pete. Pete, thank you for calling.
Hey, Bob.
What's on your mind, Pete?
No, I just wanted to call, check in real quick. Basically, I guess, you know, not to be redundant, go over some of the same topics that I'm looking at. One point of interest that I saw yesterday, and as you're always talking about, you know, everybody should start looking to be a little cautious with the markets, you know, moving forward from here on in, especially to see what happens after the elections, even though at some point I believe the inevitable is going to happen regardless, but it may speed up the process. But otherwise than that, there was an interesting article, and the article mentioned that there was over $5 trillion of wealth that evaporated in the month of October, and the headline read that it could be the beginning of the greatest financial crisis in world history.
Interesting.
Okay. So that was the article that came out yesterday. I saw it. And that's what it said in big, bold headlines. So
okay.
I guess they're saying this is foretelling what's possibly yet to come, which I think you may agree with me that, at some point I believe that we are going to have a downturn, whether it comes in the form of a crash overnight or one of those 70s-style bear markets where it grinds down 40 to 50% over a period of a couple of years. Nobody has a crystal ball for that, but either or, is not palatable no matter what. Anyway, I wanted to share that with you and your listeners. So I guess to remain on the same theme of what we always talk about, can't hurt to take some money off the table and be very careful and nimble as we move forward, especially over the next few weeks. You know, you might have some sort of good feeling rally for the end of the year like we normally do. And depending, if they want to use tomorrow night's election as an excuse in either or direction, But the process may have already started what happened in the month of October. So I just wanted to share that.
Yeah, I mean, going forward on that narrative, I was listening to somebody earlier today, and they just made a wonderful point that even though earnings, most of them have been beating, you know, the estimates, there has been some caution in the wind of these companies on a going forward basis. And
Yes. This,
you know, and it is the caution that I think is taking, you know, a lot of air out of the balloon here. Look at Apple again. You know, it got clocked on Friday. It's getting clocked again today. They are just taking the generals out to the woodshed. They are crushing them. And I find it challenging to think how the markets could get some real traction if the generals are just getting crushed here. And I think
that could be,
like I verbalized last time, could be the canary in the in the coal mine in reference to what's to come sometime in 2019. So
yes, exactly.
I totally share your vision that their caution should be we should embrace caution at this moment, this second, Pete.
Yes, as well in the home building stocks as well. They've been under a lot of pressure, and the housing market has started to stagnate. So there's a lot of negative divergences go on, even though we have these major rallies after the markets get hit. But, $5 trillion still evaporated. So anyway, that's the point I wanted to make there. And one other point I wanted to bring up, I'm actually at some extenuating circumstances. I don't have the symbol with me of the marijuana stock. I will have it next Monday, I promise to your listeners, the one that Philip Morris has been rumored to be looking at. I believe the name of the company is Apria Healthcare, A-P-H-R-I-A Healthcare. I just don't have the symbol, but I will have it next Monday. And
okay.
One other topic, they keep reiterating the Barrick Gold and Randgold merger as a thing, as foretelling more to come in the gold
Pete.
And silver sector.
Okay, great. All right, Pete. Well, listen to me. You call back next week. Bring some symbols with you, so I'll make sure that listeners.
Yep.
I'll make sure my listeners put pen to paper. Okay, Pete.
You got it. Have a good day. Thank you, Bobby.
Thank you very much. Okay, great. That was Pete. Always. You know, Pete's a smart guy. Okay, back to the phones. Alex, thank you for calling Takeover Talk. What's on your mind?
Hey, Bobby, how are you?
Good, Alex. Good. Thanks for calling. Happy Monday.
Oh, thank you. Same to you. So, I had a question. I wanted to take a little bit of a deeper dive into those midterm elections, kind of get your thoughts on not only the overall market, but say if the Republicans lose the House or the Senate, if how that's going to affect the M&A environment. Will we see as many mergers and acquisitions or takeovers if we have a more Democratic-run Senate or Congress?
Okay. Yeah, that's a very good question.
I didn't know if there's going to be more anti-takeover or more controls and restrictions on, what the big companies are allowed to do in terms of, roll-ups and monopolies. So I wanted to get your take on, first I want to hear, what you think. Are we going to see the Republicans hold their ground? Or are we going to see Democrats come in? How's that going to affect the market, especially the M&A environment?
Okay, great. That's a very interesting question. Right now, as I'm speaking to you, I'm watching the markets, probably similar to you. The market's up almost 200 points here. I believe, and this is just Bobby Cohen's opinion, Alex, I believe that the market would welcome the Democrats taking control of the House of Representatives, because that's just the nature of the beast, where, you know, when there seems to be log jams in politics, where the least seems to get done, the equity market seems to gravitate towards that seam, to that narrative. And
that's what you've seen over the years?
That's, yeah, from my experience over the years. Now, I don't know what would transpire if the Democrats were able to take over the Senate. I think that that's a stretch. I'm not a pollster. I just play one on TV. But at the end of the day, I just think that, and going to your next question, I think that takeovers, my belief is that nothing will change as long as we have a Republican president in office. So I think the next 4 years is there's going to be plenty of tailwind in reference to getting deals done and for M&A activity to continue as long as we have a Republican president in the White House. Okay? Now, that being said, I always believe that from the people that I speak to, the smart people, that M&A activity oftentimes picks up, Alex, at the tail end of an economic recovery, because usually at the end of an economic recovery, interest rates start to move up. And as you're seeing, interest rates are moving up now. The 10-year, you know, it briefly kissed 3.25% 2-3 weeks ago. I think just today it was trading around 3.20. And the cost of money is starting to get a bit more expensive. So my belief is that acquirers recognize that and want to get to the bank now and spend that money at these rates and lock them in before rates go higher. So my sense is that I think we're going to see some increased M&A activity, not only from now to the end of the year, but from now going into 2019 and 2020, I mean, barring a market collapse, and as we know, that happens sometimes, and then if that should happen, by definition, Alex, liquidity would dry up across the board, and you know, that'd be a whole different narrative. But I don't know if I answered your question, but my belief is that M&A activity will continue to, you know, be on the same path as it was the last 2 years, regardless if the Democrats take over the House, which I believe, right, from what everyone is saying, that they should be able to take over the House of Representatives. Is that how you see it, Alex?
I think I'm on the same page as you. Could go either way. But, you know, I have one more question for you. I have a trader in my office. Call him Johnny. He's asking me to ask you what you think is the hottest sector in M&A right now. If he just wanted to throw some darts at the board, you know, what sector should he look at?
You know what?
He likes to shoot blind. He likes to shoot blind sometimes.
Okay. Well, look, you know what? If somebody puts a gun to my head, I would focus on the biotech area. I would say biotechnology is innovating every day, every week, and you get these large fluctuations in the price of some of these biotech companies that a lot of these acquirers, when they see a correction, my sense is that, and the fundamentals have not changed, or maybe the fundamentals have even gotten better for one of their drugs or for many of their drugs, they may go in and pounce and want to purchase, acquire these inexpensive biotech companies. And my sense is that there's a tremendous amount of M&A that has already happened, I believe, in 2018 in biotech.
Sure.
And I still believe it will continue. There were, you know, a bunch of names that I had mentioned.
I wanted, maybe you could spit out a few symbols, so I know Johnny's listening right now. Maybe he'll.
Yeah, you know, Bluebird, BLUE, trades around 134. I know a couple, 3 years ago, Goldman Sachs was quoted thinking that, you know, on a takeout, it could be worth north of $300. Of course, you know, a lot has changed over the last 2-3 years. So Goldman Sachs may have changed, you know, the narrative on what I just said. But that's Bluebird, which is a gene therapy company. GWPH, which is which trades also at around $143 or $140, is a company that, believe it or not, has the only cannabis-related FDA approval. They just received it like 90 days ago, and I think you got to put that one, GWPH, George, Willie, Paul, Harry. You have to put that one on your radar screen. Also, one that I'm probably going to talk about maybe a little bit later that I had verbalized a few weeks ago is Amarin, A-M-R-N, Adam, Mary, Robert, Nancy. I believe it hit a 52-week high today out of approximately $22-$23. This stock, Alex, believe it or not, I think was trading at around $3 back in July 30th of this year alone, and they came out with some positive data on a drug that they already have FDA approval for. So, you know, there's been a lot of takeover chatter on AMRN. I would really look, you know, put that one on your radar screen. And then, you know, one more I would leave you with is ACAD, Adam, Charlie, Apple, David, Arcadia Pharmaceuticals. Stock trades at approximately $21. This is one that has a treatment for people that have Parkinson's, and they ran into a little difficulty with the FDA not too long ago, even though they have approval, but they got a clean bill of health, and I think this is one that is going to catch some tailwind as well. So, Alex, those were four names, four symbols that I think that, you know, people should put pen to paper with in reference to biotech. And I hope I was helpful, Alex.
Yeah, I got one more that I want you to take a look at. Maybe you can give me an update next week. I could try to call back. ENTX, Intera Bio.
I'm sorry. Give it to me again. ENTX,
Eric, Nancy, Tom, X-Ray.
Okay. And
Intera Bio.
Okay, great.
The name that my biotech guy, Johnny's been trading in the last 3 or 4 months. And, you know, maybe you could take a look at it and give me your thoughts next week.
Okay, great, Alex. I'll definitely do my own homework on ENTX. And if anyone else is listening, they should do their homework on that, and we could all compare notes next Monday. Okay, Alex?
All right, Murray. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much, Alex. Thank you for calling.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, that was Alex. Boy, Alex had called one time before, I believe. I believe he's a hedge fund manager. Very sharp guy. Very good questions. All right, let's go back to the phones. Who do we have? Who's calling Takeover Talk? Hi, Tom.
Hi, Bobby. Hi, how you doing today? I spoke to you a couple weeks ago. It was a pleasure to speak to you, and I was motivated to call again. So,
you're the best, Tom.
Today?
Thank you. Thank you for being a repeat listener and a repeat caller as well. What's on your mind, Tom?
Well, let me just say this. It's not too often you get to pick up the nice little tidbits that we could use in our pursuit of, trying our best to master the market. And I really appreciate all the things you do for us, listeners out there. So,
as you know, if I can just hop in, because we all know, Tom, making money in the stock market ain't easy. We all know that.
It's brutal.
It's all about getting, you know, getting good information and getting good direction. So thank you for the kind words.
No, you're welcome. And I think if we're able to listen to a gentleman like yourself, it gives us a little bit more tools in the tool bag to go to work with. And I appreciate, you know, your knowledge and what you do for us, the listeners out there. So thank you for that.
Thank you, Tom. What's on your mind, bud?
What last time we spoke a few weeks ago, and you filled me in, you made some very valid points, and I was calling around about the Trump presidency, the effect him eliminating a lot of the onerous regulations that were strangling the market, and I think you made some good points of the cheaper money that was available during Obama's presidency made for possibly a better environment for takeovers and for a lot of investments in general. But what I'm looking at is tomorrow is, you know, everyone's speaking about this as being one of the most important elections. And really, you never get this type of hype that you're getting for the Senate and the congressional elections that we'll have tomorrow. What's your feeling if the thought is, And I hope it's wrong, but the thought is that the Democrats take back the House and the Republicans maintain the Senate. A lot of people say the split of it, almost like as we had with Bill Clinton back in the 90s, produces great results. And I'm just calling to see what your thoughts are. And see what we can look forward to going in the future if we do get that split with the Democrats in the House and the Republicans maintaining the Senate for takeovers and for the market in general. Thank you.
Okay. Well, Tom, that's a great question. It's a similar question that Alex had asked as well. And believe it or not, I'm not a political pundit, but I do concur with you that if by some chance, if the Democrats do take control of the House, I think we're going to have something similar to what transpired, with Bill Clinton, and it's going to set the landscape up probably for some tailwind in reference to the stock market. But again, that just might be a sugar high here, because I think what we're struggling with is higher interest rates. And it's not a function of blaming the Fed or, you know, he said, she said. It's just a function of we had, again, a very accommodating policy, you know, to your point, with the start of Obama. And it's time to take the training wheels off. And, you know, the Dow was at a low, I believe, back in March of 2009, Tom, where it hit 6,500, and it has rallied over the last, you know, 9-10 years, 20,000 Dow points. So,
wow.
You know, I mean, that's just a tremendous amount of ground that the Dow picked up. And for people and investors to think that if interest rates start to move up here, which it looks like they are, and, you know, to use the metaphor, taking the training wheels off, I mean, how could one be surprised when the market starts to correct here? And I just want to make sure that, you know, everybody is cognizant of an event, not only what transpired this past October, you know, to Pete's point where he said that, I think he said that, $5 trillion came out of the stock market or was lost on paper. I don't remember exactly what the verbiage was on that. But, you know, my sense is that, you know, if you're trading this market, you have to be cautious. If you were a long-term investor, Tom, and you know you're a buyer on weakness, well, you know that has worked in the past and probably has worked over the last 100 years. And you know, and it's not for me to say that somebody should change their strategy, except that I do believe that because of higher interest rates, people need to be a bit more cautious here. And to your point, in reference to what that means to M&A, I do believe that M&A activity is gonna catch some tailwind, because if interest rates are starting to really go up here now, a lot of the bigger companies that are doing the acquiring are gonna wanna do the acquisitions today, now, this week, opposed to waiting, because the cost of money is only going to get higher. Do you agree, Tom?
I agree with everything, and I think what it almost it leads us to feel here too is that everyone's so worried about what's going to happen in the election, but at the end of the day, it's really a matter of rates rising or rates remaining stable or the lower rates we had with the different president 10 years ago. So it's not all one event. There's a series of events, a cumulative series of events that control what happens with takeovers and the market in general. So what I'm trying to say is I don't know if we should all be worried about what happens with tomorrow's election. Either way, whether we get the Republicans in control, the more pro-business environment, or there's a split like we had during the Clinton years, which was also when the internet really came aboard. But I think those are, it's not just one event in general. It's a series of events that dictate which way this market and takeovers, are going to come about. So, that's my feeling, and I think you concur. And I just wanted to get your opinion of what we're in store for in the next day, 2 weeks, and months ahead. That was my thoughts.
Yeah, I share your vision, Tom, 100%. I really do. And you know what? I have a lot of faith in our founding fathers. Many, many years ago, they knew that there was going to be gridlock. They knew that that not everyone's going to play nice in the sandbox, and they did a nice job of how there's checks and balances. And my belief is that, again, these checks and balances, will play a key role in reference to where, the capital markets or where they are and where they're going. But at the end of the day, I do believe the focus should also be on interest rates. And if interest rates are starting to move up, I believe it's going to start taking some air out of the balloon here. And to, like I always said, maybe, the Fed's taking the training wheels off here, and people should just, should not throw caution to the wind here, if you know what I'm saying, Tom.
I do. And I want to thank you again. And it's always a pleasure to speak to you, and not to toot your horn. But, when us average investors get to speak to a gentleman like you, of your knowledge, it's greatly appreciated. So thank you again.
Thank you very much, Tom, and you're being so kind, okay? Thank you very much, Tom, and hopefully we'll
okay,
see you next
day.
Week, okay? You the same.
Okay, thank
okay.
you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Tom. Bye-bye. That was Tom. Okay, let's go back to the phones here. Who do we have? I believe Doug said we have another caller. I'm sorry? Franco, thank you for calling Takeover Talk. How are you?
Hi, Bobby. How are you?
I am good.
Very entertaining to listen to your program, and I learn a lot from it.
Well, I have a question for you. Yes, Franco.
I said, you want me to repeat what I said? Were you able to hear me or no?
Oh, yes, I heard you. Yes, I was saying thank you very much, and thank you for always thank you for being a regular call-in, Franco. You add a lot to the show by calling in. So what's on your mind today? What can I, you know, what's your question?
I wanted to ask you, what are your idea of the five potential takeover targets going into 2019? What is your idea there? Give me about five potential takeovers.
Okay, great. Well, look, I'm going to give everyone an opportunity, you know, to put pen to paper. So, you know, just take, you know, take a few seconds, and you may want to jot, you know, some of these names down, some of these symbols. I have mentioned these names prior over the last 15, 16 weeks as well. Look, I love all my children the same, Franco, but these five or six names, I believe, you know, you should keep an eye on, not only from now to the end of the year, but also going into 2019. First and foremost, Xerox, XRX, that's kind of a household name. That's a technology company. I had mentioned many weeks ago that Carl Icahn, the activist investor, has a very large equity position in Xerox. And I think the stock is currently trading at around $26. And my belief was that he had mentioned, or I had read, that he would entertain any bids north of $40 a share. Well, again, keep in mind the stock's only $26, and I do believe they had just come out with a very good earnings report. So I would put Xerox on that list. That's a technology company. I would also put Insight, which is a biotech company, Franco, Ida, Nancy, Charlie, Yellow. I believe the stock is trading at $68. They have a couple, three or four drugs that are FDA approved. My belief is that they are in the oncology space, which is cancer. My belief is that the stock, the current 52-week low is around $59, and the higher, I believe, is like $130, $140. This has been one that had been rumored as a takeover for the last few years. And just maybe it won't be a bridesmaid anymore, and it maybe it'll be a bride over the next year or year and a half. That's Insight, Ida, Nancy, Charlie, Yellow. The third one is another technology company, which I believe most of my listeners know. It's Fitbit. The symbol is Frank Ida Tom, F-I-T. I think this one trades in the low sixes. They, too, had just recently come out, I believe, with a very good earnings report. And this is the company that makes those watches, and that is a competitor to the Apple Watch. And this had been a takeover, had been a rumor of a takeover for the last couple, 3 years as well, and that's Fitbit. The fourth one, which I had mentioned earlier, and I had mentioned a couple, three times over the last few weeks, is Amarin, a biotech company, Adam, Mary, Robert, Nancy. Wow, this one was trading approximately $3 back at the end of July. I think it hit a 52-week high today. It's a biotech company, trades at approximately $23. Been a lot of chatter of a potential takeover. They have one drug in particular that lowers cholesterol, and supposedly they're coming out with some additional results. Maybe in the next few days, they had given their shareholders a taste of what some of those results were over the last 4 to 6 weeks, and the stock spiked up. And, you know, I kind of have my head, I'm scratching my head on this one, Franco, because it ran up from around $3 to $23. And the company had an opportunity to raise more money in a secondary offering, you know, and as of this moment, this second, they haven't used that option. So to me, and to me only, you know, maybe they are negotiating a takeover and not focusing on raising additional capital in a secondary offering. So this one has me intrigued. AMRN, there had been talk that, you know, this could be taken over at $30. Then I saw an article that said $39, and some other guy came out and said this thing could be taken over at $80. So, you know, it's all over the board here. It is speculative. It's AMRN, a biotech company. The fifth one, Franco, which kind of been front and center because the Supreme Court just had a favorable ruling on casino gambling, sports gambling in the United States, is Caesars, Charlie Zebra Robert, which is trading at a little bit under $10. And I even believe today it was front and center about possibly MGM or maybe some private equity companies looking to acquire Caesars. So I would put Caesars on the list. That's five. And I would just throw in one more, APA, for number six, which is Apache, which is in the oil space. And that's APA. I think Apache's trading approximately $35, $36. And over the last couple, 3 years, Franco has also been rumored as a takeover target. So those are six: Xerox, Insight, Fitbit, Ameren, Caesars, and Apache. If you put a gun to my head, Franco, I would tell you to put those six on your radar screen. But, you know, again, I mentioned many of them over the many companies over the last 15, 16 weeks. So I really don't have a favorite. But if you put a gun to my head, those are six horses that I would go with right now. Okay, Franco?
Thank you, Bobby. As usual, you are very knowledgeable what you're doing. I really appreciate that. And it was very nice, you know, being able to have an actual conversation with you over the phone when I took that hour, you know, personal information that you gave me on takeovers. It was very nice of you.
Franco, you're talking in reference to the private workshop that we had together. Well, I thank you, Franco.
Right, right.
Thank you very. I appreciate you taking that private takeover talk workshop. And again, anyone who's interested in a private takeover talk workshop could drop me an email, and you could drop me an email now at TakeOverTalk@AOL.com, TakeOverTalk@AOL.com, and in the subject line, just put in private workshop. But Franco, it was my pleasure, and I always appreciate you calling in, and that was a very good question. So thank you very much, and don't forget to vote tomorrow, Franco, okay?
Of course, yes, thank you. Take care, Bobby. Thank you. Bye.
Okay. Okay, that was Franco, and that was a very good question. He wanted my opinion, and, you know, he wanted, you know, five or six names of potential takeover targets that I would go with, you know, from now to the end of the year and also going into 2019. Wow, these phone lines are heating up. This is just great today. Okay, let's continue with the phones. We got Mike.
On
Mike,
the air.
Thank you.
And then they're
Mike,
Mike, Bobby,
thank you for calling
you?
Takeover Talk.
Bobby, I just really wanted to call and thank you for the tips you gave me to be cautious in the market because I'm making money, bud. And I want to thank you for that. And I don't have much of a question for you now because I'm just counting my money. So thank you again.
Mike, I appreciate that. And just again, you know, just continue to be cautious. There's nothing, you know, there's nothing wrong with being in a little cash, as you know, because, you know, from the conversations you and I have had, you know, off radio, you know, I know you're a sophisticated businessman, and being in cash is like putting the baby on the floor. The baby can't fall off the floor. And with interest rates starting to move up here, I think it's okay to be a bit cautious here and to take a few bucks off the table and to wait for the next opportunity when it presents itself. Because as you know, Mike, if you don't have any dry powder when an opportunity comes, well, then, you know, you're out of luck. So, but, you know, you're
exactly.
a smart businessman. I know from what you had mentioned to me, you had owned numerous, numerous restaurants in your day. So I appreciate the kind words. And, you know, it means a lot that you just call just to say thank you, Mike. And I appreciate that, okay?
Well, I thank you, too. And there'll be more calls. Thanks, Bobby. You need more
thanks
time
again.
On the air, but all right.
Thanks
bye.
Again, Mike. I thank you very much. Okay. Hey, that was nice. That was Mike just, you know, thanking me. He had asked me some questions about the market a few weeks ago. I had turned a bit cautious, and I was just sharing, you know, my feelings about the market and just trying to keep people out of harm's way. At the end of the day, everyone has to do their own homework, their own due diligence. I'm not making any decisions for anybody. You know, go always check with your investment advisor, your broker, or whoever else you look to for guidance in the U.S. capital markets. Well, wow. Well, we had a bunch of calls. Well, I'd like to at least get to a couple names here for my people, for my listeners. And, you know, one in particular here that I wanted to really, you know, speak to my listeners about. Do you remember the failed takeover attempt of NXP Semiconductor, the symbol NXPI by Qualcomm? You know, who remembers the price of the takeover? Well, it was $127.50. That's right, $127.50. It got as low as $69.72 a couple weeks ago. Stock is currently trading at approximately $82 or $81.70. If you remember, the deal got nixed because they needed approval from the Chinese government, and they didn't get it. So Qualcomm was not able to take over NXPI, and the stock had just gravity kicked in over the last few months, and it went down all the way down to, I believe, almost, you know, $69, $70. Like I mentioned, I would put it on your radar screen here. I'm not saying that, you know, it's getting taken over, but I would think that common sense would dictate that one day, the United States and China will put their trade differences aside, and probably NXPI will again be front and center in reference to a potential takeover target. I'm not saying by Qualcomm, but I do know that, you know, they had just come out like a few days ago with some very good earnings, and I also believe with some very good earnings guidance. More importantly, my belief is that, you know, they make the chips for autonomous cars. I also believe that they make some chips for Apple Computer. And again, you know, just, you know, my thought process is that you got to put NXP Semiconductor on the radar screen as a potential takeover target. It may not be now, because of all the stuff that's going on between China and the United States. And, you know, they got jammed up again because of this whole trade, you know, dispute. And that deal did not happen between Qualcomm and NXP. But you got to keep in mind, the deal, again, from what I read, I believe it was supposed to be $127.50. The stock's trading at $81, $82 now. And like I always mention, you got to like a company based on the fundamentals as a standalone. I think you got to do your homework on this one. This may check off most of the boxes here for you. Again, timing is everything in life. But you may want to put this one on your radar screen. NXPI, do your own due diligence. Do your own homework on this one. Okay, wow. I'm looking at the time. Where has all the time gone today? We were so busy today with calls, I did not even get a chance to do a radio commercial. Unbelievable. Again, if you would like a private Takeover Talk workshop with me, Bobby Cohen, drop me an email now at takeovertalk@AOL.com. That's takeovertalk@AOL.com. In the subject liner, put in private workshop. Please do. And if you want to contact me with any questions, shoot me off an email at takeovertalk@AOL.com. I want to mention something to all my listeners here, which may, to me, doesn't sound like a far-fetched thought, but I wanted to throw it at you. I had mentioned a few weeks ago to put IBM on your radar screen as a potential takeover target. You know, I know it's, you know, the market cap is well over $100 million, and who could possibly take over IBM? Well, last week, IBM came out and said they were taking over Red Hat. Okay? So say to yourself, if you're a large software company, such as a Microsoft, such as a Google, maybe an Oracle, maybe a Salesforce could be a stretch, and you wanted to get some real estate, really like that one, real estate, in the cloud, well, if you try to take over IBM at these inexpensive prices, because the stock got clocked. I know it's up like $4 today, but the stock has just been, you know, taken out to the woodshed since the announcement of the Red Hat deal. If you're able to get, if you're an acquirer, IBM on the cheap, not only do you get their cloud business, now you get Red Hat's business, and you're getting, you know, other bits and pieces. It is a profitable company, regardless of what you may want to think about IBM. And who knows, you know, you could, you know, piece them out and, you know, and have your little auction as well. So I don't know. I would just put IBM again on your radar screen as a potential takeover target, since the stock has just gotten crated over the last week. Okay. I'm being told my hour is up. Wow. I had fun today. I hope you had fun today. Okay? Thank you for calling in. Thank you for listening to Takeover Talk. I've been your host, Bobby Cohen. Thank you for listening this past hour. And I will speak to you next Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And don't forget to vote tomorrow. Thank you again. Bye-bye.